Welcome to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke, and today's guest is Bernhard Tevis. He is a practicing hypnotherapist and founder of the HypnoBox, an app that provides self-hypnosis sessions for mental and physical health issues. Today, we'll talk about his journey of becoming a hypnotherapist as well as his work in self-hypnosis. Bernhard, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. I'm very happy to be here.
Excellent. So how did you learn about hypnosis? What was the journey like, and how did you eventually decide on being a hypnotherapist?
Yes, actually, I didn't have any idea about hypnosis about 10 years ago. I was an event manager. I was in a burnout with depression, panic attacks, sleeping disorder, and I smoked like crazy. That time, I was in charge of the whole events in Mercedes-Benz Museum in Stuttgart, Germany, and it was a super stressful job. I couldn't help it. I smoked like crazy, like 30 cigarettes. And after some time, I felt it in my physical body that I had a chronic infection. And I couldn't brush my teeth anymore in the morning without puking. And that was the moment where I said, hey, I got to change something. The first thing I did was like stopping with willpower, exercising willpower. But every time I had stressful situations, I started smoking again. And I didn't understand that. So why can't I control that? I was in control somehow, I thought, of my life. But there were so many things right now where I started to rock bottom. And I think, hey, what's wrong here? Then randomly, a hypnotherapist moved into my house. And we started talking, and he taught me about hypnosis, what it is, what it's not, that it has nothing to do with sleep, that you're still aware of everything in control, and that it's like the most fantastic tool for change work existing at the moment. And I say, oh, that's very interesting. Let's go with that. And then we did a session 2 weeks later, and I never had the need to smoke again. It's 10 years ago. That was so fantastic for me that I said, hey, I want to learn that.
From what I've learned, smoking cigarettes is as addictive as heroin. The addiction is really that strong. I quit myself years ago. Luckily, I was able to do it by sheer willpower, but it took about a month before I just lost the urge to do that. So when we talk about hypnosis, state of trance, is there a difference?
Yeah, you can say that hypnosis is the process that guides you into the trance. Yeah, and so it will lead you into the trance, but you can't like trance somebody, but you can hypnotize someone. That's the guiding and the process going deeper, because there are many ways to go into the trance. Even through breath work, you can go into the trance, through dancing, and through regular movement. There are many ways actually to go into that, and hypnosis is a technique that guides you in there.
Is there any relationship between states of hypnosis and states where a medium becomes connected to the unseen world? Yeah. Is there any connection there?
Yeah, definitely that is only possible from my point of view. If you go in a sort of trance, and then there is this gate to whatever, to channel or to get information, but it's necessary for sure to go in a certain state to be able to do that. So you have to shift somehow. Some might learn it accidentally or randomly, other got a teacher or something, but definitely there must be ways how to shift the state to go into that.
Okay, so there are, as you say, gates are like portals.
Definitely.
To those realms.
I believe there are many ways or things that we don't know, that we don't completely understand, and that we can't, of course, not like prove or measure. It's a lot about what people tell, or in hypnotherapy, what they experience there, or how I experience things. I also go into connection with my clients. So I sometimes have the picture in mind from them. They have already the pictures in mind from me. Sometimes I have the answer from them already somehow there. It's quite fantastic what can happen there if both are in a trance.
So in that state, then, there seems to be a different connective mechanism of some sort, where it's obviously above the level of communication that we have in our civilian lives.
Yeah, definitely. And I believe that we have like more senses than we think. I believe in information fields where we have informations available, and our subconscious mind can be like an antenna to enter this. For others, going to different states, past lives, between lives, and that can be very interesting things happen.
Very much so. Information fields, that also brings to mind the Akashic Records. Is there a connection with that, or is that something completely different?
What is Akashic Records? I'm not sure if I get this in English. Sorry.
The Akashic Records is apparently a book of past events, current, and even events in the future. It comes up a lot when we talk about past lives and trance-like states and things like that. So what happens to the conscious mind when we enter hypnosis?
Yeah, the conscious mind is actually still there. I call hypnosis also focused concentration. The prefrontal cortex, where the conscious thinking is taking place in the brain, is shutting more down, but it's still there. So there are still thoughts, might be still thoughts, more in the background, but you're still aware, you're still in control, you can still answer, you can still talk. Yeah, and in the states of trance I'm working with, there are also very deep states of trance where there's no activity at all, but I don't normally work in these depths because it's not so effective as I do that in trance levels where the conscious mind is still there. That's much more effective to work from my experience.
So the conscious mind is still there as a spectator, or?
Yeah, people are still able to decide that the whole value system is still there. But more as a spectator is a good thing. I explain that to my clients. Hey, be more the spectator of certain processes. Yeah, we do certain processes where you just observe what is happening. And that can be quite fascinating because your conscious mind realizes, okay, right now my subconscious mind is in control of my body. And if I work with this life regression, past life regression, what we need is to have the unconscious information coming from here spontaneously, not from the conscious mind. That's why when I work there, I train the people, let's do spontaneous answers. The first impression that comes up, that's the information that we work with.
On the subject of past life regression, because you did bring up past lives a few moments ago, and just now, life in between lives, are these types of sessions that you normally engage with your clients?
Well, I work with regression. It's one of my main tools. Mainly, I work with this life regression because from my experience, from my belief, most of the trauma are coming from this life. There's a lot happening in our childhood. But if it fits into the belief system of my clients and he's believing in past lives and reincarnation, then it's likely that they go into this past lives if they think, oh, this emotion, this trauma is so strong, it can't come from this life. It must be something older. And then, yeah, it can happen. Yeah, it doesn't matter if I believe that or not. It doesn't matter if it's existing or not. Even if it would be just a projection of the subconscious, it would have an effect on the healing process. I experience very interesting things there because I know this is interesting also for listeners, what's happening there. So once I ended up in a past life with a client and he was a Viking king. Now, and he was definitely speaking a Nordic language fluently.
Of course, he was a Viking.
So I don't know how much projection is in there. You know, I don't think if you work with an Aboriginal in Australia that he would become a Viking. That's also interesting, though, how cultural or maybe TV shows have an impression on how we might go also into past lives, yeah, or which lives that to choose. And I find that very, very interesting. But he was definitely speaking in Nordic language that he wasn't capable to speak, an ancient Nordic language. It was very interesting, very interesting. Bardo level, I went twice actually with clients into Bardo levels. They describe that as a level of peace, of nothingness. Yeah, it was very interesting as well. But they could describe, it was very clear, I'm between lives. And they could feel that very clearly where they are. First a bit like, oh, what is this? But then if we went into that, it was very clear.
They were not in a past life, but in between incarnations.
Yes.
I've heard some very interesting accounts of that space, soul contracts, soul families. Also examples of people saying from direct experience that it's almost like casting a movie, like casting a stage play. There's all different types of events, good and bad. Did you or any of your clients witness anything like that?
Like in the levels in between or in past lives?
In between.
In between. No, that was more like a very fluent state, what they described. I just can tell what they described, and that was like more energetic, what they told.
During any of these experiences, whether it was past lives or life in between lives, were you able to get connected with them and experience it with them, with the client, Or was the client just giving you a blow-by-blow of what happened?
No, they are really in this. If we go into this past life, we always check out what is happening there. In this past life, what is the teaching in there? Why he went into that? Why one client was a witch and she got burned in the end? That's very dramatic. And she felt this whole anxiety very intensively. This anxiety she was actually suffering from in this life. So what we did was always like checking in the end, what is the teaching that this existence wants to give the existence of right now with it? What is important from that? And this is always a resource and a wisdom that this person can take with it.
And it seems to me that no matter who I talk to about this, whether it's a past life memory or an in-between life memory, there definitely is a healing part of what goes on.
Yeah.
And you brought up an interesting comment earlier where you said, it doesn't matter if you believe in it or not, but if someone were to experience a past life, they may uncover an issue that is affecting them in this life.
Exactly.
Is that true?
Exactly. But I must say, I had it once that a client didn't believe in past lives at all. And because I always check it in the pre-talk, I check always, okay, what's your belief system? So I read that. And then she actually went into the past life. And that was super surprising for her. That was like something where she was like, okay, I was expecting everything, but not that. And that is very rare that people go into past lives if they actually don't believe it, but it's possible. If this emotion is that strong, especially in Germany, I had several times that people were full of anxiety and they went into situations in German concentration camps, actually, which is for German, what is the worst that can happen? It would be, end up in the concentration camp and being demolated like what happened.
A concentration camp. There's been some pretty heavy experiences with your clients from past life and in-between life memories. But when we talk about hypnosis in our civilian lives, there seems to be a bit of a stigma. Maybe it's due to pop culture, movies, and TV shows. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, a lot of that is not helpful, of course. I grew up with a Jungle Book, and the Jungle Book, the snake is hypnotizing Mowgli, and he is all dizzy and stuff like that. We all are singing to that. That is how we grow up. There are many other cartoon and also movies where this is used. Even modern TV shows use it, actually. If we talk about that, no, it's not helpful at all, because it puts a wrong light on hypnosis, and it brings in this idea, oh, I'm completely out of control and I just got a code word and I'm gonna go and murder someone. This is not how it goes. The other thing is stage hypnosis, where people run around like chicken or something. This, it's a form of hypnosis as well, and it's actually working. But if a stage hypnotist is asking people on stage, they selected them before very clearly who is highly suggestible here in this audience. Then they have 16 people on stage. Then they do more exercise. And in the end, he's only working with one or two people who are absolutely like going through all the exercises and like have green light, green light, green light. And in the end on stage, it's like a deal, a subconscious deal. Hey, I want this to work. And then they do things which they normally wouldn't do. But if they wouldn't do that, they wouldn't go on stage. I think stage hypnosis is great to show what is possible from the subconscious mind. But it would be always cool if stage hypnotist was like, hey, now they have them in that state, now give them something positive for their life. In Germany, you have a few stage hypnotists who do that, who combining like positive suggestions as well. And not just, hey, I make you walk like a chicken or opulate with a chair or something. That is not very helpful. This is actually the state where the bouncer, the firewall that is protecting the subconscious from change, is stepping aside, and so new ideas of thinking and behavior can sink in. And if this is up to your wish and will, this can like, boom, come to the ground and grow. The absolutely fascinating thing about the hypnotic state, and for change work, absolutely fantastic, I think.
It seems to me that there's definitely been an increase in people being interested in hypnosis of all types. I noticed that just from the people that inquire about being on the show. And it seems to me that the stigma is decreasing slightly because it seems to be more legitimized. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The more people experience hypnosis and having positive effects, especially through hypnotherapy, you have a boom in Germany, in the US as well. More people realize, hey, this goes faster. This is more effective. I don't want to talk 2 years on a sofa two times a week about my issues. Many people are aware, okay, now I'm aware of everything. I understood everything is coming from my childhood. Yes, or even earlier. But how to get this on the subconscious level, where all the emotions are triggered, where the thoughts come up, where the behaviors are stored. Yeah. So the problems people have are not conscious problems. They are subconscious problems. Otherwise, they would have changed that. So there is a mindset changing about that. And you see that how meditation did that. And I see the same way for hypnosis as for meditation. Meditation in the past, only Buddhist monks were doing that. Meanwhile, wow, you're not meditating. What's wrong with you? What's your meditation technique? So I think and I believe hypnosis will become mainstream. And this is like my mission, to bring that mainstream and to spread this message. If I do that through this, if I do that through HypnoBox, through my app, where I do a lot of educating also, this is a very important thing. And I believe that's how it will be.
I think it will eventually become mainstream if it hasn't already, especially with meditation.
Yeah.
You mentioned the HypnoBox. I wanted to ask about how you are the developer of the hypno-breathing method. How is that different from, say, shamanic breathing techniques or maybe yogic breathing techniques?
So the patterns or the breathing patterns are quite the same from some yogic and shamanic breathing techniques. So you inhale deeply, breathing out. You change through breathing the ratio between oxygen and carbon dioxide in your blood. That brings you into a trance quite quickly. What I do in hypno-breathing is that I work then with suggestions, with positive hypnotic processes. So I use breathing actually as a trance induction, and that is the difference. And that is normally, if you work with breath work, that is not happening. Maybe you put an intention before, but that you get like really into processes, like that is very rare. What I experienced when I did all my breath work trainings or worked with gurus in India, I think let's combine that. Let's use breath work as an induction and then do the processes. That is something very effective.
Right. So it's not as simple as going to the app store and downloading the app and jumping right in. That person who's interested in trying this out, they should prepare with a proper breathing method. So whether it's yours or someone else's.
Yeah, we will in the future add some hypno-breathing patterns and breathwork into the app. We're still in the recording phase because in HypnoBox, we always put more and more content. Right now, I do that online or one by one with people, especially with people who are very much in their head. For these people who have difficulties to relax, breathwork is a great induction. That's what we're adding in the future. We're working on that because as an induction, it's perfect. But there are so many other ways to go into hypnosis in the app. It's a modular system. You can choose exactly which inductions you want to have, which suggestions you want to work on, which music, and so on. It's a perfect tool for self-hypnosis.
What's the difference between an app like this, like the HypnoBox app, and a live session with a therapist?
A live session is generally deeper than in an app. You're more connected, of course. In an app, you don't do like transformative processes. In an app, you do more like positive suggestions, but not, hey, we go now into regression and solve that thing, because that is something that should be guided by a therapist. So I tell to my clients, okay, the big work we're going to do here one by one, and the fine-tuning you can do with HypnoBox, with the app, with the daily work you do there. Like meditation, if you do that on a regular basis, have a great effect.
So in other words, I can't go into Viking world on my lunch break. If I want to do some work, some real work, I need to be guided.
It's more likely that this happens. Let's say it like that. We have a shamanic session also in the HypnoBox where you can go into the underworld. Whatever you experience there is not like moderated or guided. It's always better if you go into that state, to be guided, to have someone who's helping you, who's suggesting, hey, try this, try that, get a feedback, and then go into this whole thing. Because there are some points you can't get over by your own. Some transformative processes, you need guidance to help you to go through that door, actually. Otherwise, we could solve everything by ourselves. That's why we go to therapists, because they give us the ideas what is actually the next step to do to make this transformation, for example.
Speaking of doors, you just mentioned the underworld a few moments ago. What are the dangers of someone venturing out into different realms without proper protection practices, which, by the way, I hear from mediums, hypnotherapists, other intuitives, whatever they do, they always practice some form of protection because not all the beings out there have our best interests in mind.
That's true. So what I experienced now, or we got feedback from HypnoBox, we have full through a very positive feedback. No one like, hey, this was dangerous for me and so on, because it's a natural state, actually. If we go here into the states in hypnotherapy and things might come up there, there are always ways how to deal with that from a therapeutic view. No, of course, I heard also of mediums who have problems like to protect themselves from energies or something like that, that might be not have the best interest. There's nothing that is like I'm dealing with here on a day-by-day basis, not at all.
Okay, so the self-hypnosis with the app is generally safe. You don't wander into dangerous waters. That's been your experience so far.
Yeah. It's a lifestyle app. It's not a medical product. It's not like something that you use instead of therapy. It's a support.
Do you think that with extended use of an app like this and self-hypnosis in general, do you think that it primes the pump to be able to experience these states almost instantaneously? You could be walking down the street and you'd get a flash of a past life or parallel life. Maybe enter through those doors, even if it's just for a few moments. Do you think that's possible, or is that actually common?
Well, I never say with hypnosis, nothing is impossible. A lot of things possible. But from my experience, if you're healthy and you practice a lot with trance states, you are more even in control to decide, okay, now I'm going into that state, you know, and now I'm going out of this state. So I can go into a deep hypnosis because I practice that many times, self-hypnosis. I have my anchors and go in there and out there as I wish to, and on trance levels, which I also can control. That means the more I practice it, the more I feel in control of it. That's why I would say this is more unlikely to happen, that you experience that without you have the intention to have that. You know? So for me, going into a trance has to do with a decision, same as falling asleep. You have the decision made, hey, I want to fall asleep. And then you will go into that state. Yeah? Hey, I want to go into a trance. I think shamans, as soon as they sit down, decide, hey, now go into my trance, eyes up, and there we go.
With the self-hypnosis, do you suggest doing this a few times a week, or is it daily, or does it not matter?
Well, as well, same as meditation, with self-hypnosis, the more regularly you do the things, the better, of course. What I do is actually, I work with self-hypnosis twice a day. So in the morning, I do flow state hypnosis, which is a form of hypnosis where you go into trance through a regular movement. You can not only go into trance through relaxation, you can also go into the trance through regular movement. So what I do is actually doing that on the trampoline, listening to HypnoBox, and then I visualize my day, how my day should go. Or I say, hey, solve me that problem. I get many ideas doing that. It said that the relativity theory from Albert Einstein, he made on a bicycle. You know? Many people say, hey, I had that idea on a toilet. Yeah, why? Because they relax and suddenly they go into a relaxation in the toilet trance and ideas come up. Others a shower. That's quite interesting. That's the thing I do in the morning. And in the evening, I do a session for falling asleep. And then I take the suggestions I hear with me in my sleep. And that's fantastic, actually. So it can work during the sleep. I sleep much better. And I especially take this one suggestion that is called tomorrow will be a great day, which sets the mindset already for the next day.
there are a lot of benefits. It sounds like it's almost teaching the subconscious what you want it to accomplish.
Exactly, exactly. Many people ask about what's the difference between meditation and hypnosis. In hypnosis, we really focus on the induction, that we go into this theta state, brain waves, more theta, less beta in a meditation state, it's beta brain waves. In this state, suggestion can more easily be absorbed off the subconscious. So if you work with mindfulness and meditation, it's mainly about the quantity of thoughts. If you work with hypnosis, it's more about the quality of thoughts.
Anything else that our listeners should know about this topic?
I would definitely give it a shot, try it out. If it's with a hypnotherapist, if it's with HypnoBox, this is something you can test for free and make an experience, because the change happens through the experience in the hypnosis as well. That's why hypnotherapy is so effective, because suddenly you're in a different state. You can experience things differently. You have more access to resources. You can see more pictures maybe. Everything is more vivid. You can also go into positive situations. Yeah, not just past lives or something, just like relive positive things, anchor that and use that as a resource for the future. So you can also reconnect them like a phobia with a positive emotion. And that is the powerful thing about that. So if you haven't tried it, give it a shot.
Excellent. Thanks for coming on to the show today, Bernhard. How can our listeners find you online?
Yeah, sure. On our website of hypnobox.com and bernhard-tevez.com.
You've been listening to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing. You can also leave us a review on iTunes as well. For more information and past episodes, please visit www.closertovenus.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.